Hello and welcome back to Cannabis Insider. Before we start, I want to add a quick quip. I'm out of Kansas City, and as you can tell, we're both decked out in red. This is being filmed on Super Bowl Eve. Obviously, it's red for the Chiefs. Go Chiefs. But if they lose, this was for the 49ers the whole time. So anyways, this is a show where we peel back the layers of the ever-changing cannabis industry. I'm Abby Higginbotham, one of your guides to the green world. And with me, as always, is Pato Little.
Thank you, Abby. As always, awesome presentation. And I want to give a warm welcome to all our listeners or viewers, depending on which device you're connecting with. And in each episode, we want to bring you closer to the heartbeat of the cannabis movement, exploring its challenges and triumphs.
And obviously, each episode is special and exciting, but this is definitely a can't-miss interview. We welcome Glasshouse Brands Chairman and CEO, Kyle Kazan. Kyle's here to share more on their newest venture, Greenhouse 5, a project that's setting new benchmarks in the cannabis scene.
Exactly. And with the cannabis legal framework still in a kind of state of flux, particularly with the potential DEA rescheduling on the horizon, we'll discuss what these developments could mean for the industry at large and, of course, for companies like Glasshouse Brands.
Kyle, thank you so much for being here with us today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Abby. Thank you for having me on the show today.
Absolutely. Obviously, I'm going to bring it up one more time, and we want to jump into the hard questions right off the bat. Who are you rooting for the Super Bowl this weekend?
Wow, that is a great question. God, I'm more of a college football guy, but and since I'm a Dodger guy who hates the Giants, I'm going to have to go with Patrick Mahomes, and who's more exciting than in the NFL than him.
That's fair point. Fair point. Can't argue with that.
But I'm sort of a buck the trend kind of person. So since Taylor Swift is in the conversation, that's a little bit irritating because that's not really football.
Fair, but it makes for a good show. I don't know. I mean, we'll see how it goes this Sunday. But let's get back into the real questions. Pato, do you want to start us off?
Let's go. Yeah. Thank you, Kyle, for being with us here. So again, jumping to our real questions, it's pretty exciting to hear about Greenhouse 5 coming online at Glasshouse and adding a whopping 250,000 pounds to your annual production. What with such a significant increase, pushing your capacity, from my understanding, over 600,000 pounds. How do you see this shaping the future of Glasshouse and its position in the market?
So I think sometimes, number one, thank you for also having me on the show, Pato, that I really appreciate it. So one thing that seems to get lost in the cannabis industry at large throughout the, I'm just going to focus on the United States, is that this is an agriculture business. That's what this really is. And at the end of the day, it's not going to be a retail business. It's ag. And so I'm excited because this is going to allow us to continue to scale up, which our focus is to use that scale to continue to bring the costs down. So since day one, we've been focusing on COGS, COGS, COGS. And so we're extremely excited about it. And, you know, going into Greenhouse 5, we never have any inventory. It sells like that. So we need more inventory. And so we're excited to have this 250,000 pounds that we project on an annual basis come online.
And I kind of wanted to focus in on that again, is the expansion is massive, with Greenhouse 5 expected to bring in, and correct me if I'm wrong, $80 million in incremental revenues annually. Can you kind of share how this aligns with Glasshouse's strategy for growth and value creation for shareholders?
Sure. So if you look around the country, you know, and you speak to a lot of guests, I don't know how often you ask them, what is their cost per pound to grow? I've been told by my friends in the MSOs that it's like $700 to $800, $700 to $800 per pound. We're in the low 100s, and our goal is, our North Star is to get below $100 a pound. And so for us, we look at interstate commerce. We don't need it and we don't budget it or forecast the when. We know it's not an if, we just know it's a when. So for us, this allows us to really continue to hone in so that someday when those walls come down, we'll be able to, ship it around the country. And, by turning on Greenhouse 5, it leaves us only three more greenhouses on the site to convert into cannabis as well. So we're really excited. The $80 million, these are just sort of the rough projections that we like to tell investors and tell the market. Every time we turn on a greenhouse, with the exception of Greenhouse 2, which is not turned on, which has lights. So we'll have lights and the sun. We expect that to actually be better than these other ones that are 250,000 pounds, 80 million at a north of a 50% gross margin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's fascinating. It's fascinating to see how technology gets involved in the production of cannabis nowadays. And I wanted to go more on the regulatory side now, and a lot of things are going on. And with the DEA potentially rescheduling cannabis to Schedule 3, as recently recommended by the DHHS, it seems like a big regulatory changes are on the horizon. So how do you anticipate this will impact the glass house and maybe the broader cannabis industry too, especially considering the support for this change from major health organizations like the FDA and IDA?
So great question. It's one that I get all the time. I get texts and calls from my investors and things saying, hey, is this coming? You guys have probably seen since our HHS secretary proposed this, all the cannabis stocks are up, including ours. And so number one, let me say this. I'm for descheduling, period, full stop. Mm-hmm. That said, I'm not crazy. And so I'll take incremental, not that I have a say-so in this, but my biggest concern, the reason why I'm not thrilled by Schedule 3 insofar as people still go to prison for cannabis, and that's mm-hmm. unacceptable to me. That said, what does Schedule 3 do to the industry? It is a big change because 280E of the IRS tax code, which doesn't allow us to write off a number of real and actual expenses, which means it makes us look more profitable than we are. And so I think we've told the market that we think it'll save us between $10 and $15 million in cash. Mm-hmm. And if we had had that last year, we raised $15 million in cash, we wouldn't have had to do it. So that changes, not just us, but for all the companies out there where, we should not be singled out to pay, a lot more tax than we already pay than every other industry. That's not fair. It's not right. So we're getting increased taxation with very little representation. But all that said, huge positive for all the cannabis companies. Mm-hmm.
I kind of want to branch off from that. You mentioned legal a little bit. So in politics, I kind of want to talk about, so President Biden's push for clemency for cannabis offenses is, I would say, a huge step. In your view, how will this move, along with other potential DEA rescheduling, kind of shape the legal landscape for cannabis and affect those previously penalized under harsher law?
So this is going to come out very harsh on our president. I sit on the board of Mission Green, which is part of the Weldon Project from Weldon Angelos, who served 13 years of a 55-year sentence for almost no cannabis. And there's almost 3,000 federal prisoners for cannabis sitting in prison today. President Biden has released zero people from prison for cannabis. Zero. This whole thing is, I'm just going to call it gaslighting. Yes, simple possession, cleared their records, great. That I am in favor of that. But there's nobody in prison for simple possession. So when I hear simple possession, that's ridiculous. You're not interviewing me because of simple possession. That's not what I do. I sell a lot of cannabis. I think we just talked about 250,000 new pounds per year. So it's far in excess of anybody that's sitting in prison right now. I mean, and Pato, you said 600,000 will be our capability. And I have three greenhouses that are not yet turned on. So you can do the math on that really quick. So it is absolutely insane in the United States of America, where we see ourselves as fair and just people, where justice is blind, where I am sitting here talking to you about an industry that's burgeoning, and we have people serving quasi-life sentences or life sentences for this same plant. It's time to wake up. I was part of the drug war when I was in law enforcement, and I've said it made no sense whatsoever. And Mr. Biden, who's been in, President Biden, who was Senator Biden, who was part of the 1994 crime bill that has helped create this craziness, needs to step up and do the right thing, because unlike Brittany Griner, who I'm happy is home, he had to trade away two prisoners, including one called with the mercenary death or something, to bring her home. All he needs to do with these is just take out his pen and let them out. Even if it's just clemency, I want a full pardon for all of them so they can get their lives back together. But I mean, look, we're Cannabis Insider. You guys have a show on cannabis, and thank you for doing that. And thank you to all our investors that invested. But we can't leave these people behind. They are prisoners of the war on drugs, and the war on drugs in cannabis is essentially over, except for them. And that's just not fair.
I just want to say one thing, and before we move on to the next question, thank you for sharing your opinion on this and passion. We love to hear from like cannabis giants, just on kind of the current state of the world and what's going on. So I appreciate your take on this too.
Well, you're welcome. And I try and use every chance I get, whether it's our quarterlies or anytime I'm on a podcast. Thank you for asking me the question. I get people saying how great it is that President Biden did what, fill in the blank. And then I just go, hey, let me just change that Mad Lib to nothing.
Yes, yeah, so we really appreciate your candor and detailed response. That's actually very valuable to our listeners. And I want to ask you something in the same topic. You work with the Walden Project and Mission Green. And from our understanding, this work has been incredibly impactful. And with the current shifts in cannabis policy and public perception, how do you see these initiatives evolving? And what are your goals moving forward?
So Weldon is an amazing guy. I'm very lucky, one, to call him a friend, but also to do the work, or to help him do the work that he is doing. You know, he could have come out angry, and I don't know how I wouldn't have come out angry. He, after 13 years, he decided he was going to try and help people get out and really spread this. I would say this, Schedule 3, I hope just makes, if nothing else, shows more ridiculous that these people are sitting in jail. I know Weldon is talking to pardon attorneys in the government, and he is frustrated too, but he is also hopeful that we are going to get some movement from President Biden on this issue. And so I guess I would say there's no direct correlation between Schedule 3 and anybody being released from prison.
I kind of a jump from in a different direction. So as Glass Health kind of gears up for these changes, starting with Greenhouse 5's increased production and the potential legal shifts, how are you kind of planning on leveraging this to enhance your offerings to both recreational users and medical marijuana patients?
Well, that's a good question. So we have some amazing strains, one of which is called Jellyfish. And it's very high CBD, very low THC. And you guys, I'm sure, know this, that, you know, if it's just CBD without THC, you don't get the entourage effect, and it's far, far less effective. In fact, I won't even touch it. And that's as a user, not as a, CEO of Glasshouse. The one I use the most is the Jellyfish, and I like it in tincture form. I sometimes smoke it, but it's a flower we grow. And it really helps my body just relax. And so I know this feels like a shameless plug, but I've handed out to so many people that have cancer that my wife had both knees replaced separately at different times. And that's all she used was jellyfish tincture. And they tried to give her opioids. They tried to actually mount a little machine for a week. And she was like, heck no, I'm using cannabis. And it's very, very strong. But it can also be used almost like a vitamin where it does, you don't get the psychoactive because you use it such a low dose, but you get the anti-inflammatory. So by with Greenhouse 5 coming online, it will give us more bays to try different strains, because the one thing California shows, and I'm not totally attuned to everything that's happening in New Jersey and Pennsylvania and Florida, but the folks out here, they really are discerning cannabis users, and they're almost like fashion or Taylor Swift fans. They like the old songs, but they want the new. Like, what's the new new? Yeah. And so we're constantly having to, and for my team up there, they're always having to say, okay, is this strain, what does it yield? You know, and so there's a lot of math in it, but more importantly, it's farming these new strains. And I'll tell you, you're both invited when you come out to Southern California. The farm is at worst an hour and a half drive north of LAX. When you start squeezing the trichomes on something that's about to be harvested in the next few weeks and you smell the bouquet, that alone is going to get you to go. You're going to smell hints of fruits and or gas, and you're going to go, I want to smoke that. And so it's amazing having just almost like, you know, instead of just one, now we have another where we can get more selections and, you know, more paint on the wall. So I'm super excited about it. And as I mentioned, if we can take our costs down, we can pass along those savings to the consumers, because most of our consumers, just like in the 70s in Napa, they weren't buying super expensive wine. They weren't buying Opus One in the 70s. It was younger people getting used to wine. They didn't have a lot of money, as younger people usually don't. But over time, I think we're going to see, as this generation who really loves cannabis makes more money, we're going to start to see some different differential. But the one thing that I want to touch on with the lowered prices, a lot of us believe that the illicit market in California is 2/3 of the market. So if the legal market is a $5 billion annual market in California, that means that we're thinking that the illicit market's $10 billion. So if we can actually continue to take our prices down, we don't think that anybody in the illicit market can compete with us, even though we have to pay taxes and we have to get our products tested. We think that that's the best way to penetrate the illicit market, is to basically provide better cannabis, tested cannabis, at a lower price than the illegal market. That's what gets me the most excited, is to gain market share from the illegal market.
Two things I wanted to add to what you said is, one, I love to see some tincture love. I feel like it doesn't get enough hype. I'm a fan of tea, I think it's great. And then two, a quick question, is Glass Houses attending Benzinga Market Spotlight, correct? That's in end of February.
So I know it's out here in LA.
Grand.
And what I told my team when I heard you guys were coming to LA, because I know you guys own Miami and you own Chicago, and yeah. I'm like, finally, you're coming to the state where cannabis really comes from. Yeah. And then there was like, well, what if the first year? I go, look, my friends at Benzinga, I said, I'm game, and I think Graham Farrar is also game. So I don't think it's been inked, but there's a willingness, because we really appreciate what you guys do. And since you're coming to our home, we certainly want to be there to welcome you in. And I'm hoping you guys leave the friendly confines of Kansas City, where I'm sure it's really nice and warm, and come and visit us. And I think you'll be blown away. We can talk about Greenhouse 5. We can talk about Greenhouse 6. When you see it, I guarantee you, your mouth is going to be left agape.
Well, Pato is in Argentina, so I think he might not be flying to California soon, but I will be there for the
event. I'm making numbers for the tickets.
Pato, you don't have a passport? I know we have direct Buenos Aires to LA. Come on, man.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm on it. I'm already on that.
I'll trade you some fine Argentinian steak for some fine California cannabis. How's that?
Oh yeah, that'll be great. Yeah, of course. Now, I was gonna say it's really fascinating hearing you speaking about Entourage Effect and all the deep knowledge you have about the strains you work with. I mean, I was thinking that it's really, I don't know, it's really crucial to understand your consumer base and their needs. So it's really inspiring you to hear such a heavyweight in the industry speaking with such knowledge. And I was my next question I was going to wanted to make you is, I mean, looking at Glasshouse journey and the evolving cannabis landscape, what challenges and opportunities do you foresee in maintaining sustainable growth and contributing to industry's push for equity and justice?
God, that's a hard one. You guys are asking some really good questions today, which I appreciate. I sincerely appreciate. You know, I would hope my focus right now has been California because we're living in this prohibitionary world. I think that the best thing that there's two things. One, like I said before, and I won't continue hammering out, but let's get these prisoners out and let's restore their records. We had a gentleman named Luke Scaramazzo who served, I think it was 17 years, got a compassionate release, not from President Biden, but from a good judge. And Weldon worked very hard, knew Luke from prison, and he works for Glasshouse. When he got out, he needed a job. And, you know, he's a felon because he got clemency and he's on basically parole right now. And he worked with a parole officer and we tailored the job to make sure that, you know, he could, that it wouldn't violate his parole. We don't want to do anything that would cause him problems. Mm-hmm. To the contrary. So I think it behooves everybody in the cannabis industry where they can. And it's not an easy industry right now to make money in, but if you can afford to give preferential treatment to those who have been harmed by the war on drugs, and particularly the war on cannabis, because that's what we do, that would be my ask. And, you know, Parker Coleman, he's got about 48 years to go and he served 13 or 14 already. He's in Texas, his family's in South Carolina. I talk to him, you know, we correspond regularly. And I've said to him, and then also Jose Valero Jr., Ali is what he likes. That's the name he likes to be called. He's serving 7 years for less than 8 pounds of cannabis. He reached out to me and I went and I spoke at his sentencing to say, this is ridiculous. I've said, look, you come out, I got you. So as much as we can help be restorative, get them into the industry that they've suffered so much in. And then hopefully the state of California will try and get people from the illicit market over to the legal market and make it attractive for them by making the regulations easier. I think if you just give people an opportunity and those in the industry that have been lucky enough like us to do well, I think we owe it to those folks to help them get their lives back going and to make them valuable members of the team because they clearly like the plant enough to risk their freedom.
Well, Kyle, it seems like your company and your heart's in the right place. And I think one more question for you, kind of talking more about the business is, with all these developments, can you kind of give us a sneak peek into other projects or collaborations Glasshouse is exploring, if possible?
Yeah. So we're always, I mean, I probably say no for 100 things that I say, you know, yes to one.
Yeah.
As a CEO and a fiduciary to make sure we try and stay smart. I would tell you that more and more our team at the farm, we're now getting into the genetics of strain hunting. That's a little bit like, you know, throwing a dart blindfolded. You just don't know exactly what you're going to get. That really excites me because most of the folks that do these genetics do it for the indoor. which means growing in a warehouse, which is different than growing in a greenhouse with the sun and the full spectrum. So doing that ourselves, I think we're going to be able to provide, not just for us, but for the industry, good genetics. And also, if there's somebody out there in California that's listening that has been harmed by the war on drugs, you know, been sentenced to jail, you know, if we can provide some clones and some genetics at a cheaper price to help get them rolling, and especially if they're in the illicit market and they want to come to the legal market and we can help, we'd absolutely do it. You mentioned the tincture love. Never heard that before, Ashley. I love tincture love. I would say that we're looking for ways to different ways for people to enjoy cannabis other than smoking, and to really dial in some of those effects. And I really have to say, almost everybody that's in my generation, say born, you know, raised in the 70s and the 80s, so I'm way older than you guys, their re-entrance into cannabis or their entrance is through pain, sleep, maybe some fun, sex, stuff like that, but mainly pain and sleep. And so we're really trying to find different modalities to welcome them in. And then the not soon there, soon thereafter is typically, how do I have some real fun here? Like, instead of drinking some tequila or some beer, what can I do? And so, you know, it's those folks. And the last thing I'll say is, you may have heard of Mama Sue. She's one of my partners here at Glass House. She was recently on CNN, and she is all about the older generation and getting them on board so that there's less pills, more plants. And so she's always plants over pills. And so we're really trying to lean in on, I think cannabis should be part of everybody's life in some way, just like vitamins should be part of everybody's life in some way. And instead of using these pharmaceuticals, the plants, I think, are just so much better.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Cannabis is, as you said, maybe for now, it's not just like a gold rush, as many think. And right now, it's all about trying to do justice and getting a better life quality for many people, which find that in cannabis. So your insights are surely a beacon for many in our audience thinking in entering the cannabis world. So, Kyle, we really appreciate your time. And I think that's a great place to leave us off. And again, we really appreciate all your answers and your time for being with us.
Thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. And if you have a chance, if your viewers want, if they are on Twitter, Kyle Kazan, CEO, I do a lot about prisoners and I talk a lot about that. So if they want to hear more updates and connect with Weldon through that, that'd be great. But Pato, Abby, thank you so much for taking the time with me and inviting me on your show. I very much appreciate you both.
Absolutely. Well, you have a good rest of your weekend. And yeah.
Go ahead. Say it. Go Chiefs.
All right. That was a very interesting conversation. It's always amazing to hear CEOs of such important companies speaking about the topics that matter that maybe some would feel more comfortable maybe avoiding those questions. But Kyle gave some really interesting insights. Not sure if you agree with me, Abby.
No, I absolutely agree. You have cannabis giants like Kyle who are kind of in the midst of everything, seeing everything. And to be able to come on our show is kind of a privilege for us to see what he's seeing, what he thinks is happening, and kind of share that with our viewers too. So with that, though, that does conclude the episode. That is it for Cannabis Insider. I really want to share with you, though, that you shouldn't miss any of Benzinga's content that we put out on a daily. And be on the lookout for our upcoming events, from Cannabis Market Spotlight in LA at the end of February to our Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference in April in Miami. We also have some virtual events coming up, so keep an eye out for that. But for more information on how to get involved, check out benzinga.com/events.
That's right. And as we always remind you, please do not forget to stay connected with us on all our social media channels for the freshest cannabis news updates. And if you want to, you can also follow me and Abby. My name is Pato Little.
And I'm Abby Higginbotham. Stay green, stay informed, and we will catch you next time. Bye for now.